several months ago, when my cousin, Rabbi Schoenfeld, approached me, I believe it was at a wedding, and solicited my interest in lecturing on the subject of tefillah, my first reaction was not this semester. It turns out that this semester, in the spring semester, I teach two evenings a week at the law school, and the thought of being away from home another evening a week, in addition to being out in inevitably one of the other evenings, was such that I was very much inclined to say no. But not so much for your sake, because you would have had a speaker and a fine one, I'm certain, but for my sake, I'm glad that I said yes. Because having to prepare for tonight and having to think about Shemoneh Esrei turned out, at least for me, to be a very moving experience. So let me share with you the thoughts that have passed through my mind as I have tried to wade my way through Divrei Chazal about what I think is supposed to be going on during this process of saying a reciting the Shemoneh Esrei. I will ask your indulgence to set forth several Divrei Chazal, Gemoras in Brachos. Take them one by one, leave the questions unanswered for the time being. I will hope to be able to tie them together. The Mishnah and later the Gemara in Brachos, Daf Lamed Beis Amid Beis, Tonu Rabbonon, the Rabbonon taught, Chassidim HaRishonim, the first Chassidim, the righteous, HaYoshoin Shor Achas U'Mispalalim, waited for an hour, spent an hour in preparation before they were Mispalal. And by the way, let me just make it clear that any time the word tefillah is used, any time the word tefillah is used in the Gemara, it means Shemoneh Esrei. The equivalent tefillah is defined as Shemoneh Esrei. So the Gemara tells us that Chassidim HaRishonim waited off an hour, and then we're Mispalel Shemoneh Esrei for Shor Achas for an hour. And then the Chozrin Vishoyin, and then returned and waited yet another hour after the Shemoneh Esrei. The Gemara asks, V'chi Ma'achal Sheshoyin Pesha Shoyin, since they spent 9 hours in their day davening, 3 hours for each tefillah. Tevoson hechon mishtameres. How was their Torah preserved? Umelachton, and their work. Hech nasis. How was it accomplished? So the Gemara answers, Ela mitoich shechsidim hein, because they were righteous, Tevoson mishtameres, their Torah was preserved, Umelachton, and their work, Mizboreches, was blessed. I have several questions on this Gemara. First of all, what were they doing for 3 hours? What took so long? What was the hour preparation? And even if I could understand the hour preparation, what was the hour spent after the tefillah? Secondly, I don't understand the Gemara. The Gemara says, "Mitoich shechsidim hein," because they were chsidim, they were righteous. Toivoson mishtameres, their Torah was preserved, was and melachton. Nasis, and their melachton was mizbereches, their melacha was blessed. You gotta work. You gotta learn. What did it fly into their head? What happened? Another Gemara here in Ein Oimdin. There are two sources for this next Gemara, two Gemaras here in Ein Oimdin. One, the Gemara says, Yochel, I might think, Yishal Adam Tzrochel, a person should first ask his needs, first beseech the Rabbeinu Shalom for that which he needs. The Achar Kach Yispalal, and then he should sing God's praises. So the Gemara says two things. One thing the Gemara says, Kva Mefugash Al Yedei Shloimeh. Shloimeh HaMelech said, Lishmoya El HaRina BeEl HaTfilah. And Rina means, Bakosha, and Tfilah means the praise. So says the Gemara. But the Gemara has a second proof, which is directly from the Chumash, because the Gemara says, "The Olam Yisadav Adam Shvachei Shal Hakadosh Baruch Hu, who shall first set forth the Shvach, the praise of Hakadosh Baruch Hu, the Achar Kach Yispalu, and then he should daven Min Olam." How do we know it? We know it from Moshe. And if you think back to the pasuk, you all know it too. Moshe said, "Veschanun El Hashem Ve'Esai Hi." Moshe, when Moshe prayed to God to let him go in to Eretz Yisrael, and he said, "Ato hachivoysa laharis es avdecha es godlcha ves yotcha chazoka." He said, "You began to show me your greatness, your godlcha, your greatness, yotcha chazoka, your mighty hand." And then afterwards, he said, "Evron of the eretz ochas, let me go see the land." So first he said the shvach. He said the praise, and then he asked the needs of God. And we know that in our Shemona Esrei, that's exactly what we do. We start out with Avos. Right? We start out our Shemona Esrei, Baruch Ato Hashem Elokeinu Megalokeinu, V'seinu Hakel HaGodel HaGibur HaNoiva, all the praises. And then later we first ask, we ask for what our needs are. Then at the end, we conclude, after we've done that, we conclude with Hodoah, with thanksgiving. Bustotzach.
What do? We butter got up first. We tell him some nice things about him that he'd like to hear, right? And then we say, now that we got you in a good mood, right? Now we're going to deliver. Now we're going to deliver what we're really here for. Let's make it. Rabbi Sheinfeld said that the men were wondering why the women got the lecture on tefillah. If one looks at the Gemara, one knows why the women got the lecture on tefillah, because the Ikir Dinim of Shemayna Esrei we learn from Chana. The Gemara says, how many halachas in tefillah do we learn from the tefillah of Chana, when Chana was bespoweled for children? Several things. The Gemara says the Chana himidaberes aliba, Chana spoke from her heart to her heart, not clear exactly. So the Gemara says, Mikan, an astounding thing. The Gemara needs a pasuk from this. Chana midaberes alibo, Mikan, lemispalo tzorich shiyichaven libo. That somebody who is mispalo should have kavanah of tefillah. And if I didn't have a pasuk, I wouldn't know. I said, we have to learn this. There is a halacha that the Gemara says. The Gemara precedes this by saying, how many important and great halachas do we learn from the pasuk of Chana? And the first one, the Gemara tells us, is kavana, that you have to be mispalel with proper intent, with proper kavana. And the Gemara brings a pasuk, v'chani midaberes al libo, she spoke on matters of the heart, meaning, therefore, that you need kavana. How they say in Yiddish, and that's the America. Yeah. We've discovered this great and wondrous thing that one is misbowled to God. One ought to think about what one's saying. Then the Gemara goes on. Ratzifoseha noise, the Gemara says, her lips were moving. So Gemara says, "Mikana mispalo sheyachtech visvosa," that somebody who davens has to pronounce the words with his lips. Vekoyla lo yishameya, and her voice was not heard, because you will remember Eli was watching her daven, and Eli thought that she was a shikrena, that she was a drunkard, because he saw her davening. He saw her lips moving and he did not hear her voice. The koyla lo yishamea, so the Gemara says, mikan she'osu lagbiya koyla bitfilosoi. It's also to raise your voice in tefillah. You can move your lips, but you're not supposed to raise your voice. Shimon Esther said silent. Why? Why should somebody not be able to raise their voice in tefillah? Just in the time of Shemitah. Any other part of davening you want to raise your voice, fine. But Shemitah is going to know. And we learn it out from Chana. Then the Gemara tells us, in Oindimli Spalo, one does not stand to say the Shemen Esra. Loi mitoyr din, not after having been involved in a complex matter of law. The loi mitoyr dvar halocha, not a complex matter of halocha, but only mitoyr halocha psuka, a halocha which has no argument about it, something which is clear and and not a matter of dispute. Strange how Bacha won. Why shouldn't one be able to daven after, you know, after one has learned a complex blood gemara? Why not? Let me share with you an insight. I think it answers all of these gemaras. And maybe it is really so simple that one doesn't really have to talk about it. One ought to almost take it for granted. I think that what is supposed to be happening in Shemin Esrei is for us to let go and recognize that God runs the world. Sounds very simple. But let go. You see, we really don't believe that God runs the world. We run the world. We do what has to be done. We're the shakers and actors and movers. We let, now and then, we'll ask God to do something for us. But he's got to do it for us our way, the way we want it done. That is totally inappropriate. That it really is, in essence, not Jewish at all. We can't think that. And so, our lives are filled with conflict. We tear ourselves apart. I did something, it didn't turn out right. And I blame myself. We blame ourselves with regard to almost every aspect of our life, whether it is Talmud or career or our children. Or the way this turns out with the kids and the other thing turns out. And we're sitting there and we believe that we are puppeteers holding the strings and pulling them. We believe that merely because God has permitted us the illusion of activity and the responsibility of activity, that he has also delegated the running of the world to us. And in Shemin Esrei, I will show it to you as we go through, we take it all and deliver it up to the Rabbein Shemin here. It's your work. I am not responsible for the results. I don't run the world. I am an instrument of your will. It is really very un-American what I'm saying. If you think about it, it's very un-American. That's not the way we were raised to think. And when I think back to European Jews, who I knew from the old generation, and maybe from two generations back, and some who I still know, they could be Marek Yonah and Vishonim, and look at them and see there is a different kind of tranquility, a different kind of attitude. And because they have made peace with the fact that they don't run the world. If you think, and I have to tell you that in the process of thinking about this, I have already davened some Shemoneh Esrei. With this thought in mind, you can't get through the first few words without crying. You will not. You're in the hands of the Bnei Olam. Not bad. Not half bad. And so, we understand why Chassidim HaRishonim needed 3 hours to daven each tefillah. They needed an hour to let go. You have to let go. If you're running, if you're pulling all the strings and talk, and you don't look 1 minute, I won't be there, I won't be in the business, yeah, I won't be there, yeah, it'll fall apart. I got this, and I must do it. Takes an hour to give God back his word. And then we spend an hour giving it back to him. And then there's a hard part. You need re-entry into the world because even though loy alecha hamlocha ligma, we don't complete the job and it's not our job to finish the work for the Rabbeinu Shalom, because how the Rabbeinu Shalom wants his work done, he knows better than we. So, there still is a responsibility to act. Because we're not faithless, we don't say that we have nothing, no responsibility. We have responsibilities to act. But it takes an hour after the Shemoneh Esrei to reorient yourself as to the fact that you are now going to act in God's work. And then the Gemara asks, well, if you spent 9 hours doing these things, filling, 9 hours of filling, how does the work get done? How does the failure get done? And the Gemara says, you don't understand. They're chassidim. They understand that the Rebbeinu, that man does, that God accomplishes. A man's tut, no got tut oif. We act. But how the accomplishment, how man's work gets translated into successful accomplishment. That hasn't got to do with as many hours in the day. That's got to do with how God wants to run his world. And that's why during Shemoneh Esrei, you can move your lips, but your voice can't be heard. Because there's a lesson. A man is required to move one's lips.
But when you get your voice heard, you think you're doing it. You hear your voice. You hear your voice. Yeah, that's me. Move your lips. How it gets translated into voice, into reality, that's God's job.
Chana hi midaberet al libo. She spoke on matters of the heart. The Gemara tells us that when you stand to daven, you aren't simply intellectualizing. You're giving the heart is referred to by Chazal to all the midos, to all the human attributes of man. The Gemara says on his spalo, if you're going to daven, then you must be mechaven your heart. You've got to take your heart and your action, and you're in the essence of what you are, and lay it before the Rebbeinu Shlomo. And that the Gemara needed a pasuk.
Let's look at it in the context of Shemoneh Esrei. We said that there are three parts to Shemoneh Esrei. Avos, the Shvachim al HaKadosh Baruch Hu, first part, then Bakasha, and then Hodah.
What do we think we're doing when we say the word Baruch? Baruch Ata Hashem. We're blessing God. He needs our blessing.
Most of the Mefarshim refuse to translate the word Baruch to mean blessed. Baruch means that you are we recognize that you are the Mekor, the origin of all Baruch.
The moment you say the word Baruch, you've given it all up. You say, you're the Mekor of all Baruch. You are the wellspring of all Baruch.
There are many Gemaras and very interesting Gemaras when the Rabbeinu Shalom tells Rabbi Shmuel, Yishmael b'ni b'acheni, Yishmael, my son, bless me. And in the context of the Gemara, he says, Yirotzayim shetich b'shul rachmech eschaz kasra, he says that your rachmim, make your rachmim overtake your kas. And the Mefarshim speak there and say very clearly that when God told Yishmael b'ni b'acheni, he said, call out in me
this attribute of Mekoyach HaBracha, that I am the fount of all Bracha, so that I can bestow Bracha on Klal Yisrael. So Bracheni doesn't mean bless me, it means recognize where all Bracha comes from.
Then we say, Ata, you. Very interesting. We talk to God as if he were our next door neighbor, not in third person. In the familiar, you, do. Interesting, when we get around to saying the bracha itself, we will say, Baruch Ata Hashem, Mechaye Hameisim, the one who resurrects the dead, Haroshim, Mishishuva. We will then we will speak in third person. And the Rebbe Melech says very interesting. He says, why is it that we start out Baruch Atah, and then when we come to the end of the bracha, we talk about it in third person. We move from second person to third person.
He says, because there's a tension. He says, God, man starts out with God, with thinking that he has a relationship, that it is very close. And the closer he becomes, the more he understands his distance. So he moves back and forth between closeness and distance. You know something? I tell people all the time that think that holiness is, you know, angel, halo, a good, warm, holy feeling, whatever that's supposed to be. And I tell them that they have that to offer at the Catholic Church down the road. We don't offer that. We offer tension. We offer closeness, and the closeness immediately brings to tension, to distance. Because the moment that we perceive some closeness, that at that moment we perceive our distance. I will tell you a touch. In Pasuk in Chumash, you will never forget it after I tell it to you. I promise you, you won't forget it. It can't be right. It's the Koshnitz and Maggid. The Koshnitz and Maggid says, by he by Yom HaShlishi, and it was the third day before the Akeda, by Yisa Avram as Einov, Avram lifted his eyes, by Yavas HaMokin, and he saw the place, the Mount Moriah, Merachik, from afar. And he asks, he says, this God told Avram to bring Yisa for the Akeda. He says, he told him directly. He said, how is it that he would not listen? Which man would not listen if God ordered him directly to do so? He says, you don't understand. He says, the Akedah was a mitzvah. And for every mitzvah, the way it works is God gets you directly, and then that's off. That's off. And you now have to reach. And when, before you have done the mitzvah, you're distant. And he says, it was in that third day. Vayisa Avram es Einav. Avram lifted his eyes. Vayaves Hamoker. He saw God. Hamoker means, the Kodesh Elohim means, Moker means, the Kodesh Elohim. Vayaves Hamoker. But only Merachik came from a distance. We have to learn that we don't always feel like dying. And that sometimes we feel not close, but distant. There is a time when we daven to the Rabbeinu Shlom in a mode of ato, which is very close. And there's a time when that's called noichach in Hebrew, direct. And there's time in third person, nista, he's hidden. And we don't see him, but we know he's there. And we daven nonetheless. We are prepared to take the entirety of our lives, our fortune, and put it in the hands of God. So, we start out with the Shemanetsu. We start out with the Bakosh, with the requests. And what do we say? The first, Ata choynei le'odam da'as u'melamei lena yishbina. Right? You give man das. The chaneinu mi'itra, and we pray, and we ask you to please give it to us. Baruch ato Hashem chaneim hadas, the one who gives das. What's das? Das is our humanity. Without das, you're not a human being. Without das, you're a behemoth. 1 minute God takes away from your dark. Ani amarti v'shalvi bal emek li'olam. I said in my quietness, on times of shalva, bal emek li'olam, I'll never slip. Hashem v'sencha amarto lehar v'yoyz, yistavte v'necho yiti nivo, you hid your face, and I became confused. I no longer could see. I'm dealing this week with a young man, who has made an awful, awful mistake. Or I think he's made an awful mistake. And I saw, and you see the istalta fonecho hagisi nivo. That man has to recognize that in the essence of his being a human being, he is waiting, he is totally and completely dependent upon God. I don't have a brain in my head.
safe.
I recognize that that whatever we have, and when I say that whatever I have, my ability to reason, my ability to think, it's a game. And I need you to constantly sustain it. So we take our das and we deliver it to the Bnei Shalom. The Bnei Shalom is here. Hashiveinu avinu l'shevasecha. Return us to your Torah. We all have Torah. Who doesn't have Torah? We have Torah. Which Torah do we have? The Torah that we have decided is Torah. And each of us has our own Beltan Shaongan Torah. Everybody has their own particular view as to what is or is not Torah. And what is the proper form and where the guidelines and the hashkafa are. How often do we sit back and ask, tell us, Rabbi Yisrael, what is your Torah? There's a fascinating Gemara Masechet, just I had my ingel on it. The Gemara in Kol Shom, fascinating Gemara. The Gemara tells us that Shimon Hamsuni went through the entirety of Torah, and every time he saw the word S, had a drash, had an inference of what that S meant lahalacha. Because if there is an extra word in the pasuk, that S must have meaning. And therefore, since the Torah said the word S, it had halachic meaning. And went through the entirety of Torah and had an explanation and a reason for every S. And then he came to the... And that means that S means a ribui. S means to broaden the category. If you have a category X, the S tells us included in this category is something else. And went through the entirety of Torah to tell us what that meant. Then he came to the pasuk of Es Hashem Elokecha Tira. God, your God, you shall fear. And it says, Es Hashem Elokecha Tira. Now he was faced with a dilemma. Because if Es means a ribui, that means there is something to add to the concept of Hashem Elokecha. To be someone, something else to have also. In the same context or in the same framework of having all for God. And Shimon Hamsuni said, no. S cannot be a ribui. S cannot mean to add anything on, because there is nothing that one can deal with in terms of adding on to the concept of having all for God in any other form. Now, what did this lead Shimon Hamsuni to do? It led him to destroy his thesis. His entire life work, that every S that he had darshan in the entirety of Torah was incorrect. Ad sheba Rabbi Kiva, till Rabbi Kiva came and he said that S means, the Rebu means, la rabbis tambide chachamim. It means that one is required to have all for tambide chachamim. Shimon Hamsuni knew that. He refused as a matter of principle to darshan the yes. Hashiveinu avinu l'shevasecha. Return us to your time. Your time. Torah doesn't belong to us. We take the Torah and give it back to God. As it's in the Bible, it's your Torah. Teach it to us. Slachmanu avinu kichatanu. Forgive us. You think we're so quick to give God to give away our sins? Not so quick. We enjoy them. They have psychic gratification for us. But even worse than that, and that is, in this Siddushus Volume, there's much talk about this. God forgives sins quite easily. If a person does truly, God forgives sins. You know who doesn't forgive sins? We don't forgive ourselves. We're still paying the marionette. We're still holding the strings, right?
It's my... How did I do that?
This truth, when I bring a shem home, I wiped it off. So we take our chatoim. We take our sins. We give them back to the Rabbeinu Shalom. Here, Rabbeinu Shalom. You forgive. They're not my heritage. I want you. We take our illness. You don't have... We take our illness. You don't have to be a psychologist or a shrink to understand that illness, that people hold on to illness. We hold on to illness. Illness becomes a crutch. Illness becomes excuses. Illness becomes many things, become part of our psyche. We can ask for to be well. We can ask for the foolish man. The first thing you got to do is take the illness to give it back to the finisher. That's right. I should have been able to. I don't need my illness. Here, the finisher, you do. Look it up. Look it up. Look out the entirety of the Shem Hesra. I haven't yet. But yeah, I'm convinced I'm on the right track. That's what this is all about. Great tzaddikim used to have to be watched by Shimon Esra for what the Chassidish Yisborim call hispashtus hagashmius. What did that mean? It meant that at the time of davening Shimon Esra, almost kol sonish mosam, their souls almost passed out. Why? Because they all of it. And when the Yachid with HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave it up. So the question was, what was left? What was left holding them to this world? And there were Rebbes who had somebody who had to touch them, physically touch them, to remain them, so that they remained in this world.
There is, at the end, the last of the Shemoneh Esrei Brachos of Tevilah is Shema Kareleinu.
Shema Kareleinu is a Tevilah when we can't speak anymore. We can't articulate our needs anymore. The pain is so great, and our confusion is so profound, that all we can say is that we remain inarticulate. Shema Kaleinu Hashem Elokeinu. You know, the Rebbeinu Shel Olam, you figure it out. I can't. That's what the Shofar is. Ki Ata Shemea Kol Shofar. It's the coil, the voice. It is Me'imko de Libo. It's the tefillah from the depth of the heart. It's the tefillah when all the heart can say is, Rebbeinu Shel Olam, take over. And finally, we conclude the Shemoneh Esrei with Hoidah, with thanksgiving. Moedim.
Should be a sitting on the show.
So we go back to understand now that what we have been doing up to now, what we did at the beginning, we weren't buttering up God. We weren't telling him nice things so that that he would treat us kindly when we got around to the big bind asking for our needs. What we did first of
all, it's over to. I can take what I have, and I have whom to give it to. And so we declare whom we're giving it over to. We're talking to ourselves, not to God.
And then finally in the Haidah, we say Neidelacha, we give thanks to you in the Sabbath of Ilotecha, Al Chayenu Hamsugin Biyodecha, on our lives that are given over into your hand, Val Nishmoisenu, and our souls have Kudos Lach, that are entrusted to you, Val Nisecha, and on the Nisim Shebchol Yoyim Imanu, the Nisim that you do with each of us every single day. In all times, every move is through your Torah. I haven't survived one day without your nisim. It is in the hands of that God that I gave over the entirety of my human needs. Yes, we have human needs. We have an understanding or a belief in what is good for us. And we have a right to ask God for that which in the best of our seichel tells us it's good for us. But who touched one of the great tzaddikim types? Keli, Keli, lama azavtani, rochek mi yishuosi, divrei shagosi. He says, rochek mi yishuosi. It is far from my Yeshua, divrei shagosi, the words that I cried out. I cried for one thing and you understood another. Chazal tell us, and tzaddikim oilam tell us, that there is no such thing as an unanswered prayer. A tefillah that is uttered mi'umka d'libo, from the depth of one's heart, is heard by God and is answered. I don't know if you saw this story from Rav Arya Levin. He had been to visit in the hospital. Rabbi Levin was the Tzaddik of Yerushalayim. He had been to visit in the hospital a woman whose husband was very ill. And he would come and say Tillim with her. And they both wept. Later on, the husband passed away. And Rabbi Levin came to be Menachem Bovin. He told her, she was grateful for all the time that he had spent with her and for his compassion. But she said, tell me, Rebbe, what happened to all those wasted tears? All those wasted prayers? And he said, listen, there is no such thing as an unanswered prayer. Ayid who gives over his tefillah to the Rebbe Shalom, puts himself in God's hands. All of those tefillah signs. He says, you will come to the world Olam Haba. He says, ask to be shown for every drop of tears that you shed. How many were saved? How many Yeshuas came to the Olam? He says, I order you, he says, when you come to the Olam HaElyon, to ask to be shown. Our tefillahs are powerful things. Ultimately, we were given a special bracha from the Rebbeinu Shlomo, that we would be allowed 3 times a day to say, in the context of Shemin Esrei, Baruch Ata Hashem, we can talk with him as if he is our friend, our confidant. But it requires Kavanas Halev. It requires us to be willing to deliver on the platter, for real, our hearts. But the liberation, the simcha mitzvah that we can experience when we have done that act delivered not the acts to God, but the accomplishments, knowing that human beings are not the be-all and the end-all of how to run the world. But we are prepared to say to Bnei Shalom, you, it is your world, and we are the instruments of your will.
Anyone wants questions? I'll be happy.
No, I don't know if I can answer.
Yes.
Does that mean that,
the question was raising children. Raising children.
Look, I am a parent, you are parents, and we have to do it as intelligently as we know how. We have to seek the proper direction to do the best that we can. But self-flagellation has no place. And ultimately it is, the idea that somehow or other,
part of it is also is that we also have preconceived notions about what is, about what is success. Yosef was punished for 2 years, in additional 2 years imprisonment in Egypt, because he said, "Ki zechatami v'iskartami." He told the Saramashkim, he said, when you get back on the job, he says, remember me to Yosef. But he said it twice. And it occurred to me always that this was the same story that Rabbi Shem was telling me. Yosef, you going to write the script for me now too? You taking over the running of the world for me? I said, I got the Saramashkim out. The world. Don't tell me. He says, when it will be good for you, right? Then you shall, go again, then go tell Pari good things about me. It turned out that it wasn't so much Kasha Yitav Loch. It turned out that the reason that the Saramashkin came to Yosef was not because the Saramashkin was in such great shape, but because Pari was in lousy shape. Because he had, instead of lousy dreams, which he needed help on. We can't write the script. We can't write the script with regard to our children. We can't write the script to how, what success means. We've got somebody else's success norms in mind too. Every person, when one starts with some pretty fundamentals that every Yiddish and Neshama is tired, and every child has its own mazel and its own blessing, and brings its own peculiar blessings to the world. I think we could set up a line from here, from New York to Los Angeles, about parents who have who've been wrong about their kids' success, because they have decided and they've got a certain success norm in mind. And, and the kids turn out the way God wanted them, not the way we did. I mean, it's this business that we can play the world like puppeteers. We're not puppeteers. It's scary. It's very scary. Because you trust yourself. Maybe your husband, sometimes. Right. But to give it over to God, whom I cannot control, and whose ways are not for me to understand, that's scary stuff. We feel very good holding the reins. At least believe in the things. We pay for it. We pay for it very, we pay for it in faith. You know and I know. But, it...
that God would allow us the opportunity to say, you know, give it over to me. I run the world. I want the best you can do. And, you know, and that, use the tools that you've got. Is that cool? And that God would encourage us to develop this relationship where, you know, this ongoing relationship where we can, you know, where we can interact with him in this way and willing to hashlech yahavcha al Hashem. I mean, it, you know, part of the problem about what I'm saying is that it is neither profound. It is very simple. But it seems to me that that's what the essence of tefillah is. There's no escaping. Otherwise, what we're telling God is, no. You want to see something? I told my son-in-law this last weekend, what I was thinking about. You can daven any other tefillah and not think about things that you have to do. Automatically, use that same shemitah. Right. And you got a list. You have a list from today to then. It happens to me all the time. An absolute memo pad. Why? You know it. You know it. We all know it to be true. Why does that happen? Why does it happen? Why does that happen? It's the Satan fighting us on the essence of Shemin Esrei, because Shemin Esrei says the very opposite. And what we are saying is no. I'm not going to give it over to you. Here's what I got to do. I got this to do and that to do and the other thing to do, and I'm going to get it done today. And God's stay out of my way. That's what we say. That's what happens. That's what Machshava Zavah says in Shemin Esrei. Machshava Zavah, strange thoughts and the, you know, unworthy thoughts. That's the opposite of Yechav and Levo. And Shemin Esrei operates that way. That's the mechanic. And that's, you know, it is clear to me, you know, When it hit me this weekend, it was just a marvelous revelation. Of course it has to be that way. That's what the Satan wants. The Satan wants you not to be able to daven Shemin Esrei. You run to God. You show God. Perhaps on some future occasion, Rabbi Shenfeld will invite me back and we'll have a session on the concept of tshuva. But, yeah. Tshuva is not cosmetics. It requires very deep commitment. The essence of what you talk about is a Mishnah in Gilmel, and the Gemara says, the Mishnah says, Ha'ayim ha'echte the Oshuv, I will sin and I will do tshuva, I'll sin and I'll do tshuva. Ein maspikin b'yodeh lasa tshuva. Tshuva doesn't work. Tshuva is not a game. But there he is, Pardon? Yes. Absolutely. Let me tell you exactly what the Gemara Mishnah says and how I think you are right and I'm right. I'll tell you why. It's interesting. The Mishnah says, Ha'ayma. He says, after the Oshu, I will sin and I will do tshuva after the Oshu. Which means that before he does it the first time, he's got the second one planned out already. That you can't do.
what you can do is recognize and deal with your humanity. I will tell you a story. The first Lubavitcher Rebbe had a son who had problems. Who at one time apparently was a balaver. And later on, did shuva. And spent years living in the city that my great grandfather was grandfather in Honestipel. And he was a good soul, and he was a sensitive person. And he once came into my grandfather, and he said he doesn't know what to do with himself. He says he finds himself slipping back, and sinning again. And my grandfather told him that in the Shemen Esra of Rosh Hashanah, of Yom Kippur, we say, Ki ata sochan li Yisrael u'machron v'shifte Yeshua. He says, doesn't it say, Ki ata seleach, but Ki ata sochan u'machron. And he showed him a gemara. The gemara uses the word about a behema roibetz, lying up and down. And then sometimes the gemara uses the word a rav son. And Rashi says, davkei bekach. He says, when you change the word to the form of from roivetz to rav tzon, right? He says it means that is a habit. He says ki ato solchon, the Rebbeinu Shel Olam is a solchon. He says davkei bekach. He forgives once and a second time and a third time. The fact that the human being is imperfect, tries and falls again, and falls, tries and falls. You know, there's a very interesting letter from Rabbi Zochanan Lebracha, very interesting letter. He says, you know, we think about tzaddikim. He says we think about the Chofetz Chaim and the Gadol. We think about these people. He says, and you know, he says when they were, 85 years old. He says we forget. He says that before they got to where they did, he says they fell and stumbled numerous times. Sheva Yipol Tzaddik Bekom. He says we pay too much attention. He says, to what they look like when they were finished, and not enough to how hard it is to get there. And they get there the hard way. Get there the way off. And the difference is they never gave up. They never gave up. You knocked them down once, they got up a second time. You knocked them down a second time, they got up a third time. Yeah. We're dealing with the Rabbeinu Shel Olam was a Yadea to Lumeris. And the Rabbeinu Shel Olam has to give Eidus to us. That at the time we have done the tshuva, we mean it as fully as a human being can. Now, we have no intermediaries. There's nobody to impress. The boss knows.
What's the fine line between being Chabel and then giving everything?
Don't know the end. The fine line. The questionism was, I deserved having that question being thrown. I asked for it. And the question was, what is the fine line between the shadows, between doing and... I think that Jews are the quintessential existentialists. We are existentialists, and that is that each time we are confounded with a true choice, we have to work hard at it ourselves. But there is a line. There are clear sides of the line, and we know where they are. Even when we are operating in the mode of ishtadlus, of doing, we also have to recognize, we have to have it clearly defined in our minds, that
I don't have the results. I don't own the results. And I think that that presents a very significant delineation in human thinking. It does in my mind, and I have to struggle with it, and probably unsuccessfully, and my wife tells me very unsuccessfully. But we have to struggle with it, do the best that we can with it. Yeah, but at all times, not to be foolish, to believe that we're not. But once we know that we're not in that other mode, that it is, that my pushing and pulling has some significance, but that, I don't run it. It presents a real limitation. It really does. If there are lines in your mind, one does not become a Millikan or a Bosky. You don't, because you don't. It's foreign. And there are things that ought to be foreign to our minds. There was a question back there. Yes. And I don't think you can. And I think that we cannot tell them to do it this way. I think that's the tension that we have. And I think we have to confront it. This was the problem of Yosef. Yosef told God, told his son Amashim exactly how he was to be helped. And God told him, put another 2 years in prison for that. No, you're not going to run my world from me. I'm not about to take the dictation from Yosef, as great as he is. Yosef does not run my world.
Because
God created us human. Because he created us human, he created us with wants, he created us with needs. He asked for the dialogue. He asked for Rabbi Nishalom asks for the dialogue. Rabbi Nishalom is Yoshev to Yulei Yisrael. He sits, his occupation is listening to the tefillos of Am Yisrael. He created us in that mode. At the same time, and nothing stops us from asking and expressing our hope, but with the limitation. That it's coming from this one very finite, small mind. Here's how I
see it. And clearly when we ask for others, we ask for it in the same way.
We're running late.
One more question
from up there.
If we can make a show, for everybody to understand it, what is more important, to go with the governing, to go back for the Shmona Esrei, according to what we understand Shmona Esrei?
Well, there are lomdos in Shulchan Aruch about what happens when you come late to shul and at which point you come in. Obviously, you will see that when you learn the halachas in Shemoneh Esrei, depending on how late you come, that there are a seder of things that you have to say. There are things that are skippable and things that are not skippable. And the thing that the Birchas Krishma from Yotzer on the Eves through to the end, we did not speak yet at all today about this business of being Seimach Gula Letfila, which is another problem. But the structure of it is that there are some things that have to be done before one can say Shema. You have to, for example, you have to say Krishna with the Bible.
Krishna, we have the same thing with Odaya and different, like from Odu or whatever.
No, but there are parts from there that this I'll leave to the rabbi, and I think the rabbi they're asking questions. You got to give them. You ought to give a shiur on Hilchos Tefillah.
According to what you said, Shmona Esrei is the most important.
Yes. Tremendous. There is no question. There is no question. But there is a halachas in Shulchan Aruch about what needs to be done, because there's a necessary being same of geula l'tefila. I mean, there is another structure of things that have to be done. But the importance of Hashem Nasa cannot be denied. It is the center point of the tefila.